Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number two, Bart and Han, Allen on Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. So the poll has closed. I'm just curious, like I said, just take the temperature of the Knicks fan, of the NBA fan. With the news of Julius Randle, as reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, that he is going to undergo season-ending surgery on that shoulder he had been trying to rehab and get strong enough that he could return to the lineup before the playoffs, that's not going to happen now. So after 2 months of trying and giving it all he could do, like just to see if he could strengthen it enough to protect it, the feeling is that that shoulder was not going to protect it. He was not going to be able to protect himself, and it could lead to further damage and even more concerning damage for him going to the future. So it's time to shut it down, and he did. So that really does impact the Knicks' chances of being that team in the East that some people thought at full health might be able to challenge the Celtics if they reach the conference finals. So with that in mind, I just simply ask, with the fully Knicks team now not available, the path is paved for the Celtics to reach the NBA finals because everybody else in the East is flawed. Which team now has the best upset potential? I gave four because all Twitter does is let you do four. I had the Bucks, the Sixers, now that Embiid's back, the Heat because of culture, and then the fourth option is, let's be honest, no one. Which option do you think won out, Bart?
No one.
Correct. Well over 1,000 votes, which is really annoying because it was almost 10,000 views, and yet only 1,000 people decided to just click
lazy,
a button.
Right.
Hey, come on, man. What are you doing? Man. Anyways. Yes, no one won by 38%. Bucks number two at 35.6%, which tells me those people haven't been watching the Bucks lately. The Heat third, Sixers last. So, I mean, this is it. If Celtics, the path is paved for them to go to the finals. All right, like I said, we'll continue with calls and the conversation on the Randle stuff. The simple question for the day is, do you run it back if you're the Knicks this offseason? Randle has an extension eligible this summer. He has an opt-out after next season, so you'd want to extend him now. Do you run it back with him and Ananobi? And we don't know if Ananobi's coming back this year either, everybody. That is not a given. So we still have to wait on that news. And it's still, we have not seen enough of this Knicks team altogether to have a real feel about what they could be. So that is the question. Do you want to see them run it back? Sign everybody, just run this thing back. Or should they go into the offseason trying to find other upgrades around Jalen Brunson? 800-919-3776. We've also been talking about, from yesterday, the Diggs trade with that the Bills have gotten weaker, it looks like on paper, and that is there a debate about whether or not the Jets should be the favorite to win the AFC East? The whole idea is to stay healthy. That, of course, is the most important part for everybody. But it is still something that has been kicked around a lot. Chris Canty, our good friend, was on his show on Sportsmanlike. And he decided to go at Aaron Rodgers because he feels like you, but mainly Mike Greenberg, have kind of fallen for Rodgers as this leader that could, raise up this franchise like a phoenix from the ashes and lead them to a Super Bowl. And Canty feels like everybody has been duped.
This guy is a cancer that's metastasized throughout the entire building in Florham Park. And I don't know why Jets fans can't see it. That's why I said your season is over before it starts. It's not about your talent. It's about what Aaron Rodgers makes your franchise. He is a culture killer. And because, from a production standpoint, he's not the same guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago when he won back-to-back MVPs, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. But guess what? Sometimes you got to learn things the hard way, and Jets fans are going to relearn that this season. 2023 wasn't a fluke.
If it wasn't bad enough, Bart, another one of our friends, Damian Woody, on his on Sportsmanlike, followed up.
As far as best leader... When? I haven't seen it. The last time we saw Aaron Rodgers play high-level football, like the Aaron Rodgers football that we've been accustomed to seeing, for so many years, was probably, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Think about that. At this point in his career, it's kind of a long ways away. So I still think Aaron Rodgers is a really good quarterback, but we can't discount the fact that he hasn't played high-level football in 3 years and he's coming off Achilles. Those are questions that he has to answer.
Both okay, of them Bart. Bumped their damn head. And listen, I saw Chris Canty on the way out. I didn't know he had a rant, but we talked about it. We kind of talked. Maybe he assumed that I had heard what he said about Aaron Rodgers, but I was in the studio in the other studio, so I hadn't heard what he said about Aaron Rodgers. But I couldn't disagree with him more. Like, he's brought that team together and gave a belief to them. Like, we're questioning his leadership. Was not bonding with his teammates and spending time, quality time, offside of the Florham Park. Was that not leadership? Coming back when you didn't see Vera Tucker around. Vera Tucker had the same injury, right? Did you see Vera Tucker come around the team? No. Did you see him come back and skip rehab and spend money to fly back to be around the guys just to lend moral support? I don't know if they're paying close enough attention to the effect that he has on the other guys that are leaders on the team, like Garrett Wilson, and how glowingly they talk about him just about his presence as a teammate. See, like, when people talk about Odell as a teammate, like, you've never heard a teammate say anything bad about him. But you hear the media talk about him being a bad teammate. Never heard it from a teammate, actually. Right? When you look about Aaron Rodgers and what he's done, he hit every single note that you expect a guy who was trying to ingratiate himself in not only the community but with his teammates. He hit every note. He didn't have one misstep. So miss me with whatever he's talking about, the president and all that type of stuff, the jokes that he made when he's talking in a podcast-like setting. I can care less about that. But then you want to go and attack his play. Tell me this. When is the last time the Jets ever had competent quarterback play? Not great quarterback play. Competent quarterback play. I think you have to go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? The 10-6 year.
The Fitzmagic season.
Right. The yes. Fitzmagic season. So I don't understand, like, when you say he hasn't played at a high level, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Even when you go back and say what he's did his last year in Green Bay, in my opinion, was better than average play. It was better than Geno Smith play, in my opinion, right? Was it not Geno Smith? You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like he catches more strays for no reason, because he's a lightning rod, because he's a guy that has an opinion. He's a guy that, you know, people may not understand. So I don't worry about Aaron Rodgers and what he's going to be, right? Because everything that I need to know about Aaron Rodgers and how he carries himself around that organization and how guys are saying, oh, well, the team has been duped. No, I'm not, because I talk to somebody on the team every week. And every time I can't even get the R out my mouth without him smiling. I can't even come close to it.
We had Garrett Wilson on our show every week.
Yes.
Right? He appears on our show. He'll do it again next season. Every week he's on our show. And every time we've talked to him about Rodgers, and it's, you know, you could tell when it's fake, right? When a teammate doesn't really rock
it's
with him.
But admiration to yeah. the greatest.
But when he talks about him with such admiration and such, like, you could feel the emotion. Like, it doesn't feel like he's just saying nice things because he has to.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty genuine when he talks about him. So, look, and I understand why people don't like Aaron Rodgers for the other stuff that goes on, the things that he gets himself involved in. You know, the idea that he would even allow his name to be used in a vice president nomination for an independent, you know, when you know they were just using him to get all of us to talk about it and give that guy some free publicity. That's all that was. He allowed it, fine. If he wants to do all the Joe Rogan stuff and people that don't agree with all that, you know, that's all different. But when he was about football, where was the issue? Like you're saying, from OTAs forward, and I admit it too, the honeymoon was certainly wonderful. It was. But we never got to see him in a regular season, week-to-week situation, because he lasted four plays. So I don't know how we judge Rodgers as a leader with the Jets when he hasn't been on the field, right, to be a leader during the regular season. The offseason, I don't know what he did wrong, but during the regular season, what happened was he went away, he got hurt, and then, yes, when he came back, he was definitely a presence. He was definitely a, hey, look at me on the sideline throwing a football with one crutch. Hey, look at me not walking in a walking boot. Yes, there was a lot of that going on, but I don't know how much of it was something that you feel like that's just what stars do. They attract cameras. They know the cameras are around. This is what they do.
Right.
Now, let me tell you what. Here's something, too. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing with him and the Jets. Nothing.
Right?
He is no longer a teammate of Aaron Rodgers.
He wasn't. And Aaron Rodgers, he was in the doghouse.
And there were times, right, Rodgers used to be scared daggers at MVS.
Yeah.
This is what he said on a radio show about him. He said, he's one of the greatest teammates you'll ever find. He cares more about his teammates than the game of football. People think he's a diva, but that's the furthest thing from the truth. So that right. That was just, I believe, this morning or yesterday. So this is not anything that, you know, was like from a month ago or a year ago or a couple. This is literally recent. MVS has nothing. There's no reason to suddenly just throw flowers at Aaron Rodgers.
Somebody's going to say, well, he's unemployed now, so he's looking for a job.
Oh, he's trying to get signed by the Jets?
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that deep threat. Two-time Super Bowl champion. We'll take that.
Okay.
For the minimal.
Here's my point. He had that to say, and we want to always believe the worst in people. Look, I love Chris. I feel like that's there was a little too much fire in a take like that. It felt almost personal.
Yeah,
that felt personal, and I don't understand it because if you were watching it like we were watching it on a daily basis, his off season from the day he said
he
I want to be a Jet to the day he was hurt, I don't know what he did wrong. It was after that when he got – clearly, when we knew he wasn't returning and he started to go into that those other places where he decided that he was going to become, you know, basically a sport – he was his own radio host saying things about topics, and everybody, of course, gets triggered by those certain topics.
Yeah, that was week 15.
Keep him into football, and I imagine we'll have a I would expect different. But the
and
Jets have not had a personality like this in their franchise since Joe Namath. They haven't. And that's all you can hope for is that if he stays on the field, what you saw in the offseason will happen during the season.
In that horrible season, he threw 26 touchdowns and 12 picks. A high for him. So would you sign up for that if you're a Jets? Would the Jets sign up for 26 touchdown passes?
I mean, when was the last time they
and
had
12
anybody
interceptions?
That did that. Right.
I mean, like, what are we talking about? He still completed damn near 65% of his passes, and that was with rookie receivers.
Yeah.
That wasn't with a great team. That wasn't a great team. He has a much better roster than he had 3 years ago. So, like, yeah, can he be that guy? Yeah, because guess what? I'm expecting that 64% that he had the last time that we saw Aaron Rodgers for an entire season, I expect that completion percentage to maybe go up to 70 because he's going to have better guys that can get open.
And again – the criticism for the Jets that I think is fair, okay, is only one thing. They have a team that you're depending a lot on them staying healthy.
But how the hell you could criticize the Jets this year? Is not everybody depend on people? Are they not dependent on Joe Burrow to stay healthy?
But
are they not dependent on Lamar Jackson to stay healthy?
But there's a lot of players on the team, and it's a small window. And if
yes.
you want to have criticism, I'm saying, look, because everybody has reason to criticize. Nobody's perfect. No team is perfect. No franchise is perfect. So when you are looking at the Jets, the one thing you'll say is they really have to they have to hope
right.
that they can stay healthy through a season, and they have guys that have not proven that they can do that recently. And then they have the quarterback who's 40 years old.
Right.
I get that. And then, Bart, if you want to make it worse and you just want to be that guy, I'll tell you this. You have all that hope of things going right, and then let me add now in the karma that is the Jets.
Yes.
Those two things, you put them together, we all know the inevitability is, okay, they're all going to get hurt again because it's the Jets. That's it. Like if it was the Steelers, you'd say, well, it's the Steelers. Things always go right for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do understand why you'd be skeptical of what the Jets can be, and you would look at people side-eyed when they speak positively or optimistically about what the Jets can be. I completely get it. That's the reasoning for it. But that's not tangible. What's tangible is on paper, this is a good team. And what's tangible on paper is that Aaron Rodgers is one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game. So the potential here is that they will have success. But the problem is that the belief is it's the Jets, so of course something's going to go wrong.
Of course. And that's lazy analysis because last year wasn't it, the Texans can't win. Oh, they won. The creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, like, be careful with not judging every season differently because you never know when that luck changes for that organization, whether you're talking about the Saints, who used to be the Aints, the Arizona Cardinals, who've been to a Super Bowl more recently than the Dallas Cowboys. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who used to be the laughing stock, but now when you look over their history, they have two Super Bowls. So you can go with the lazy narrative, but I don't think this is the same situation. I think, you know, even if Aaron Rodgers goes down, at least they have one of the better quarterbacks, backups in the NFL.
So they just never got all to see
him play. All you can do is what you're supposed to. Fortify the offensive line. That was the number one objective.
Critical.
It's no way they could have made this line any better. And for everybody that says, hey, Aaron Rodgers this and that, I think the fact that Tyron Smith came here for essentially $7 million because he thought the Jets were close. The fact that Mike Williams decided to come here with the Jets.
Right. He had another meeting to go to. He never even went to the other teams that he's supposed to meet with.
And they didn't break the bank with him either.
And they bring in Hassan Reddick, and Hassan Reddick comes into this defense, looks around, and goes.
See, I'm not gonna say Hassan Reddick because Hassan Reddick was traded here.
No, but I'm saying, he came in, looked around, and was like all in.
Right. He played. You
know, a guy like Hassan Reddick could be leaving a team like the Eagles and come to a team like the Jets and go, I don't want to be here. You know, like he could easily have just said, like, at this point in my career, this ain't it.
Yeah, but he was all in. You wanna know why? He saw this defense dominate his offense last year.
Good point.
So he's like, yo, if you put me on that, so I'm just replacing Carl Lawson? That's it?
Maybe.
Bryce Huff? I got that.
Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe. Who knows? But like I said, I understand. I'm not going to push back anybody that comes at me and goes, yeah, but you know it's the Jets. Things always go wrong. They're going to get hurt. Like, it's just the way things go when you're a Jets fan, or it's just the way things go with these organizations with the Jets. And I can't argue it. I can't. Because history proves that things do go wrong. Things just happen, and they go wrong. Because otherwise, how do you explain four plays in, the whole season just falls apart? How do you explain it? How do you explain that the quarterback you drafted at number two was the worst of the group of the five that were taken in the first round? How do you explain that? Because that's what the Jets do. It always goes wrong. Something always goes wrong. So I get that's why you will have that, I don't believe it until I see it. I totally get it.
But I
won't believe it either.
But the criticism of him and what he's done.
I don't think he's been right.
He's done.
Yes. And I think everything we've seen from him from the offseason all the way up until he got hurt, even the first right after he got hurt, and the way he handled that too, trying to talk to the team, even though it was through McAfee. All right, fine. But you saw him just trying to, like, we got to get right, stay positive, stay with it, blah, blah. He didn't want to see this group just let go of the rope now that he wasn't there. I thought he was trying to be a leader, and I thought he did everything right. I did. Later on, yes. Yeah, later on, it started to get a little much, but that's probably because he got bored. If he had football 24/7 because he was healthy and playing, much, much different, I think, we would have seen. So I don't think it's fair to criticize him for leadership when we really haven't seen him have the opportunity in the regular season to be a leader. And I think that's fair. Like, you were critical of Kyler Murray because of his body language in games and how that's not a leader. That's not what a leader does, right?
Yes.
Like, we haven't even seen Aaron Rodgers, like, bark at the sideline about something, get into it with Saleh about something, disagree with a play call post game where he starts ripping something that, you know, he did that, a lot of that stuff in Green Bay. Then maybe you could say, like, that wasn't a good that wasn't a good look. Shouldn't have done that. You know, but we never even got to see that because it never happened. He barely played in the preseason and we never saw it. So I don't know why we're criticizing that right now.
Neither.
But I think it's because it's the Jets.
Yeah, and it's an easy target. And that's what I'm saying. That's an easy target. You know, we saw that. We see this all the time. We used to see that with the Knicks, right, into this current regime. This year is like the first time where it wasn't like low-hanging fruit where people just want to try and make fun of the Knicks. Because it's lazy. It's easy just to jump on, like Peyton Manning jumping on the Jets. For what? At a country music awards. Like, bro, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, you create this. You make yourself the easy target because you have made bad decisions. You have been a bad franchise. You have made, you know, again, it's the head coach playing golf with a talk show guy.
But what happened?
Who's a crazy fan, and you know he's gonna tell everything that you say. Like, you know that's gonna happen. Yeah. But we do it. Why? Yeah, like that's the dumb things that the Jets do that make you say, why do you operate like this?
But you don't praise. Oh, we got Hassan Reddick for a 2026 draft pick. You don't praise. Oh, we got Mike Evans in the building to come here.
No, of course you don't.
We don't praise.
Those are just competent moves you make.
Coming
now,
here
you've got to win
the Jets.
Listen, what DiPietro always said this. Winning is the best deodorant. That's it. When you stink as a franchise, winning is the best deodorant. It's one of my favorite phrases, and I will use it with the Jets until they start winning.
If you want
all that narrative to go away, you want all that stink to go away, win.
With or without the deodorant, I don't think they musty.
Because you were a Jet. 800-919-3776. We got a lot of calls to get to, by the way. We got audio files coming up. Let's see if we can rapid fire through some of these here. Those who want to talk about the Knicks and that Randall injury is definitely something that is – you talk about affecting a season, just like the Rodgers injury, just like the Judge injury, just like the Edwin Diaz injury. Here we go, another one with the New York team. Ron in Westchester. Ron.
Oh, my goodness. Where do I begin? I am so, so disenfranchised. It's so deflating and disappointing. And to answer the question of the day, you know, as much as it pains me, all right, so I'm going to go ahead and answer it, and then I want to just give a quick comment, and then I'll let you guys get to the other callers. But Randall will be 30 come November, all right? So I know he's been somewhat durable over the course of his season, and, you know, with that said, I'm going to have to cut him loose. There's something about that number in professional sports when there are serious injuries and surgeries, and I just can't see us locking him in for another 3-4 years. I don't think he's going to get, you know, any better in terms of his durability after this injury sustained. And speaking of the injury, I've watched the clip ad nauseum. And maybe I'm biased because of what Pat the Rat Riley did to us 30 years ago. But that was a dirty play. Jaime Jaquez gathered himself after Randall already gathered, and he slid to the right. And if the NBA is going to call flagrant fouls on players that stick their feet underneath a jump shooter, they're going to have to call flagrant fouls when it comes to a player that slides their body under a player who's already gathered to go up for a layup. I've watched it ad nauseum. Mind you, Brunson was wide open in the corner, by the way. I wish Randall would have just spat it there to the side. But that's right out of Pat Riley's playbook. That heat culture of toughness and this, that, the other, it's all just smoke for being a dirty franchise that does dirty things.
Thank you, Ron. That's a bit strong. I mean, Hawk has slid in to take a charge. Randall had already decided, I'm going to the basket. It was a fast break, and he decided he was going to go in for the layup. And as Hawk has slid in for the charge, Randall tried to avoid him, couldn't get his feet under him to land properly, and tried to brace himself by landing with his arms. And that's how the shoulder popped out. I would not consider that a dirty play. Was it necessary for him to try to take a charge on a play like that when you're down? Like no, but that's the Heat teach that to make every effort.
Filthy.
I don't think that's a dirty play. Gil in Brooklyn. Gil.
What's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
Good. You?
I'm pretty good. I like you guys' point of view on the Jets, but that wasn't why I called. But I just wanted to give you kudos on that. The Knicks need to just sit tight. Let Randall get his surgery, heal over the summer, build his strength, let him play out that contract. The OG thing, you have no choice. You traded two young players to get him there, so you have no choice but to sign him. The other thing about it, the record speaks for itself, what he brings to the table when he's on the floor. So you sit tight this season. If there's any tinkering that could be done with the team to make it better than what it is right now, you do it, long as it's not going to cost you a fortune. Now, I would do pretty much anything to get what's the name away from the Nets to bring him into the Knicks.
Bridges.
It's just a perfect fit. If what's the name of them could talk to him over the summer, listen, bro, just put it out there to the Nets. Yo, get me out of here. Yeah, send me over to my boys.
Yeah, he'd have to do it, Gil. That's the problem, is that Bridges would have to do something that is really against his nature, which would be to demand. And you can't really demand to be traded to one team. Like, I think it would have to be a private, like, listen, like, request. Like, but this, the chances of that happening, I think there's a better chance of trading for KD than there is trading for Mikal Bridges. It's just where he is. It's almost impossible. It's not going to happen. Ken in Connecticut. Kenny.
Hey, what's up, guys? So this is coming from a non-Knicks fan, but just someone that pays attention. So the writing was kind of on the wall, I thought, you know, for Randall to just not be okay. Didn't know if that was, you know, definitely going to be out for the season or just like he wasn't going to be himself. So, okay, the thing I know about this team from paying attention on these last weeks, the last thing that this team has is a loser mentality. I think back to that game in Denver. Some Knicks fans are calling in saying, like, oh, you know, rest the players. Like, it's okay to lose this one. Like, no. You always go for the win because this team doesn't know how to not go for the win. So I think that Knicks fans, take a breath. I know this is a tough day, but hang your hat on. This is a very tough team, and they're going to fight.
That's all you got left. I know, Ken. That's it. That's all you got left. But unfortunately, it's, you know, it's not what it could have been. And I think that's for fans that have waited a long time to have a good team, it's maddening. It is. It's maddening that now another year where it's like, okay, well, so much for that. Because otherwise, you'd be gearing up to get excited about a run, and hey, maybe if you can work your way to conference finals and you meet up with Boston, maybe you'd have a shot at knocking them out. Right? You have a shot, and that's an exciting thing. But right now, I mean, and again, with no idea of what's going to happen with Anunoby, because he might be next. There might be the next Woj bomb. I wouldn't be shocked if he's out too. Now what? And that's why I said it makes the offseason that much more difficult. All right, 800-919-3776. As I said, this is a big topic, so we'll continue it throughout the show. But coming up, it's audio files, and Bart saw something on the ice last night that got him all fired up, something you don't normally see. And you'll hear from both sides of a rivalry between the Rangers and the Devils about why it happened. It's Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. He has tried everything possible to avoid surgery and be back for the playoffs, but that will not be the case for the Knicks' Julius Randle. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting earlier today, Randle will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery. Earlier on First Take, Brian Windhorst said this was always going to happen.
So that fans understand, Julius Randle was probably always going to need surgery on this injury. Had he had surgery immediately after this injury, he still would have been out for the rest of the season. This wasn't a situation where if he had had surgery 2 months ago, he'd have been back for the playoffs. It's a 5-month recovery timeline for this type of procedure. In fact, him having surgery now, he's not even for sure going to be able to start next season. That's how long the timeline is.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team.
Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. All right, we got your calls stacked and ready to go. We will get back to them. But it's that time of the show right now that we have to get to other things. I mean, we have talked about the main story, which is Julius Randle out for the season now with the shoulder surgery that is now coming up for him.
Rodgers hate.
And yeah, there was some Aaron Rodgers hate going on certainly as well. And there's other things around the world of sports. The Yankees now coming home 6-1 on their season opening road trip, looking good. Aaron Judge, his bat waking up yesterday in Arizona, good to see. Home run and a double. A wild ending to that game in extra innings as well. And then now they are in the Bronx tomorrow to begin things at home. And the Mets are playing their doubleheader today, making up over the rain dates the last couple of days.
Up 3-0, baby. Up 3-0.
3-0 right now, right, as Bart said. But right now it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
And we've got to get to this story, too, from yesterday, because this game was a lot of fun. At the Garden last night, it was fight night. And apparently nobody knew it was fight night. Rangers and Devils meeting up in what has always been a good rivalry game, but a desperate game for the Devils. The Rangers trying to lock up the President's Trophy. And so there was some history, as we know, because when they played back in March, the guy you love, Matt Rempe, who has been really, like, the Ranger fans have loved this guy, the big dude. He likes to fight,
but he's
also a pretty good player. He put a hit on a Devils player that they did not forget about. They wanted to fight him. It was Jonas Siegenthaler was the player that he hit. High elbow. He was suspended for 4 games. Earlier in the game, the Devils have their tough guy, Curtis McDermott. He tried to fight Rempe. Rempe said no. So now, of course, the two teams meet up here. It just so happens that Rempe was starting this game. And it just so happens McDermott happened to be out on the ice to start the game,
what
too.
What a quinky dink.
And so as they're setting up for the opening faceoff.
That's how you know. That's
Here's Alex Faust on the call on 98.7 ESPN.
And everybody is on their feet. The gloves are dropped. We've got a line brawl. Jimmy Vesey and it looks like Curtis Lazar at the center red line. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott drop the gloves outside the circle. Goodrow has picked up Kevin Ball. Jacob Trouba has picked up Chris Tierney. And back in the Rangers zone, you've got Keandre Miller and John Marino. The main event is just beyond the New Jersey blue line.
Oh, boy. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
And there are not enough stripes to get a hold of everybody.
He's like beating the day.
I love Maloney. He said it. But, Bart, I mean, when the Rangers put out a lineup of guys, every guy he named, none of all those guys can. I mean, Keandre Miller can handle himself. We know Jacob Trouba can handle himself. Barclay Goudreau can handle himself. This was not Zibanejad and Panarin out there. I mean, so this was legit.
So who was getting the hell beat out of them?
On the Devils?
Oh, that was on the Devils getting the hell beat. I saw a couple on the ground. So that's what I'm saying, though. Like, when you're doing this and you know once you start your tough guy and they start their tough guy, you already know what it is. Like, we used to have this drill in football, and it was called the bang-bang drill. Like, where the defender had to lay down on his back and the running back stays up. So guys used to start counting. I wonder when you went over there to skate, like, let's switch on the face-off, man. You take him. Me and him used to play. I've been making all kinds of stuff. Me and him used to play Junior Olympics together, man. I can't fight him. That's my friend.
Well, so after the game, and by the way, Peter Laviolette, the head coach of the Rangers, and Travis Green, the head coach of the Devils, the interim head coach, but he's been the coach of the Devils since they moved on from Lindy Ruff. So even after things had settled down, they were barking at each other because the benches are right next to each other, and they're yelling at each other as well. And after the game, Travis Green was like, I have no idea why he was so mad.
No idea why Peter was mad. I mean, to be honest, for two reasons. For starters, they more or less, their players were lining up fights before for the faceoff, and none of this would have happened, which we all know why it did happen tonight. None of it would have happened if something happened the game before, which was obvious that they didn't want it to happen that game.
So it's like they kind of knew that a message was going to be sent. Here's Laviolette when he was asked if he expected that this was going to happen at the start of the game.
No, our guys were reacting to what was happening on the ice. I thought they did a fantastic job, all five of them.
I mean, I don't know if I believe.
At least he won a sneak attack. Like, I mean, hey.
he can't say, yeah, we knew this was going to be a fight. Like, he has to say that because the league would
this. Yeah, I think everybody knew.
But that lineup that was out there, I mean, come on, man. Like we kind of – here. Adam Fox, by the way, there's a guy you don't want on the ice when you're going to have a big brawl like this.
We're not trying to make a mockery out there, I think. It's just guys have each other's backs, and everyone did a great job of stepping up for each other.
Yeah, I mean,
he's,
you know,
getting that,
we knew what it was.
It almost sounded like Lean on Me. Some guys in the lunchroom beating the hell out of Kid Ray.
I just, like, to me, like, I need to hear it one more time because Maloney at the end of this.
And everybody is on their feet. The gloves are dropped. We've got a line brawl. Jimmy Vesey and it looks like Curtis Lazar at the center red line. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott drop the gloves outside the circle. Goodrow has picked up Kevin Ball. Jacob Trouba has picked up Chris Tierney. And back in the Rangers zone, you've got Keandre Miller and John Marino. The main event is just beyond the New Jersey blue line.
Oh, boy. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
And there are not enough stripes to get a hold of everybody.
There are not enough.
That's the thing. You wait for them to break it up. Like, yo, I took enough now. Like, break this up, B. Like, oh no, my bad. We over here breaking up the other fight. Like, come on, hey man, hey,
breaks off him.
Help me.
This is straight out of Slapshot. Now, in all seriousness, Bart, is this good or bad for the sport?
I mean, this is great for the sport because we're talking about it on mainstream TV, and we love the fact that they knew they were going to fight. When no sneak attack, when nobody punched nobody, they all squared up, and that's what I love about fighting in hockey. You have to volunteer. Because all you have to do is let your hands go, and the dude going to fall. He has to hold you to punch.
Yeah, you have to get that. That is something. But remember, you're on skates. It's really – like, fighting's hard enough on feet. Doing it on skates on ice is even more difficult. But
so,
still.
So I can appreciate
it's entertaining.
All that.
You don't want – like, it used to but be
you don't want it every, you don't
in
want
the
it
NHL.
Every time.
It can't
but you
be,
want
no.
Be, yeah, you don't want it every week,
no,
every,
it gets
every
tiresome.
Game.
Right.
But you like the fact that there was some history and there was going to be some get back. Yeah. Like, I think right now, wouldn't we all sign up for the Heat in the Knicks and they star Julius Randle and he beat the hell out of old boy that clipped him? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We would love to see that.
Yeah. Again, I'm seeing it all over Twitter. Knicks fans got to stop with the Hawkes thing. It was not a dirty play. But
I'm just saying, but if you feel it was a dirty play, you get the get back.
Yeah, exactly. Would there be? But if there was going to be any get back, it would have been in the game in Miami, and that did not happen. All right. And by the way, the Rangers won the game. Like, we didn't even talk about that part. The Rangers were losing 3-2 going into the third period, came back, won the game with two goals in the third for a 4-3 win. Devastating loss for the Devils, but in a very entertaining game that right from the very, very beginning. All right. Moving on in audio files. So yesterday, a big story was the Buffalo Bills trading Stephon Diggs from the Bills to the Texans. They clearly just had to get him out of there. He had become too much to deal with. And we said the Bills, if you look at their offseason, their roster's gotten worse. And some people thought we were going a little too far. Here's Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, and what he said.
Yeah, I mean, are we better today? Probably not. It's a work in progress. We're going to continue to work on that. I would just hope that people know I'm as competitive as hell. I ain't giving in, and we're gonna work through this, and we're going to continue to look. And I'm confident in, A, the guys we have on the roster, and I'm confident, you know, the staff we have upstairs that helps me, that we'll continue to find pieces to add and that we'll be ready to roll when it comes time in September.
I mean, he's being honest here, Bart. He's being honest about it. He knows, we got worse.
He's been saying this for like 2 years when he was glowingly waxing poetic about how the ideal way to build it is the way the San Francisco 49ers is building. He said stuff that lends you to the fact that they knew that credit card bill was due and they knew that they had some bad contracts. And these are the ones that he can't get rid of, is giving that big contract to Von Miller, thinking that he's going to be the closer, and that cap number is too high to let him go. They lost Tre'Davious White. As soon as Tre'Davious White got paid and became the highest paid cornerback in the league. He got hurt and had two injury-riddled seasons. You know, Poyer's not there. Michael Hyde's not there. Leonard Floyd is no longer there. Like, of course, they took a big hit, and that's what happens when you pay your quarterback that type of money. He wants to be the highest-paid player in the NFL. And, you know, they're hoping that they can go draft a receiver and strike gold, like finding a Garrett Wilson, a Puka Nacua type of player, or somebody in the first round that can come in straight out of college and be a number one type receiver.
Well, again, we'll watch that and watch the AFC East now going forward, but there's still a whole offseason for the Bills to make some moves. All right, in baseball, the Yankees coming off a great start on the road to the season where they are won six of their first seven games. They now come home tomorrow, the home opener against the Blue Jays at 1 o'clock. And Aaron Judge on what he expects to feel in the stadium.
I think the fans are going to come out in numbers. It's going to be exciting. You know, the boys are excited to get back to New York, and it's going to be a fun series at home.
Yeah, and you know, it's something you look forward to is that first home game, of course. The Yankees had to wait a week for it, but to come home a bit triumphant with the six wins of the first seven, I'm really curious to see on a Friday afternoon, the weather's supposed to hold out, be decent, what kind of turnout you get at the stadium for the Yankees after that start.
I think everybody wants to see Soto and that bat in Yankee Stadium. So yeah, they're going to
come see him. He had a quiet series against Arizona, but you know, he did his damage in the Houston, again, in the House of Horrors, how well he played there. That first introduction when Soto comes to the plate ought to be something special. 800-919-3776. That is Audio Files. We will get back to your calls. Certainly plenty more to get to with you, so stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bang, hardcore to my brain. Get a stop, ass, bang. Man, jump, bend the face, the fundamental. Jeffy, hey, you can see 90 minutes. Method, I'm not the king. That's like a big man.
I love how at the end of this thing he said, I'll cut your eyelids off and feed you nothing but sleeping pills. At the end of the song, he said, I'll cut your eyelids off and sleep and feed you nothing but sleeping pills. The ultimate torture.
So you say I eat for three straight hours a day.
It feels like it. Everybody else agree with me? Like, I think Bart is he fasts, and his time that he fasts is before the show and after the show.
21 hours of not eating.
Yeah, and that's why you're in great shape. You only eat during the show. Is that accurate?
But like, even
honestly,
when I'm
like,
in
I don't think I've ever, other than when we've done the get up thing and then we go to the diner together for breakfast, it's the only time I've ever seen you eat when we're not on the air.
And like, we eat at the
you never ate at the game. Like,
I know.
You never ate.
Then when I eat at the diner, I don't eat all my food.
No, you take it with you so you could eat during the show. You are like, it's true, guys. This is what we do. We'll go to the diner. I will, like, put away the omelet and the sausage, the whole thing. I'll crush it.
Eat super slow.
All of it. Bar will eat a little bit, and then he'll order something to go as we leave, and then during the show, he has that.
Talking makes me hungry.
I guess.
So maybe it's that. But
you'd
crazy
be
thing
hungry
is,
your whole life.
The crazy thing is, when I'm in the studio, what I'm eating might be a cup of soup. It's not eating a lot of food.
It crunches. Whatever it is,
that's because I got crackers in it.
And all over the table.
Yeah, there's that too. It's in it and on the table.
Uh-huh.
There's something about it. Anyways, it's just an observation that we're all making.
The roaches and mice, thank you.
I mean, somebody saw it. I mean, they're in there anyway. We might as well not neglect them.
Right. Ben, the two of us need look no more. Tomorrow on ESPN, it's the women's Final Four. South Carolina, NC State at 7. Iowa, UConn, 9 p.m. Oh, by the way, there's also a men's Final Four. Nobody's watching it. I'm just kidding. Saturday is the men's Final Four. 6 p.m., Purdue, NC State, and then UConn.
The number 10. We're going to see the number 10 tomorrow.
When they're guarding each other. UConn, Alabama is 9 p.m. We'll have Monica McNutt on the show tomorrow, 2 o'clock, talk some of the women's Final Four, which she sees in those matchups, and also what she's seen out of Caitlin Clark, and also as Monica played at Georgetown throughout her college career, what she thinks about the fact that 12 million people tuned into a women's college basketball game. So, and of course, her take on the Knicks, as she will be with the team going to Chicago on tonight's coverage as well, the Knicks and the Kings at the Garden. That was a tournament update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. Oh, I like that. Nope. We just add that. Was that just something you decided to do, or do we have to do that from now on when we say Nissan?
Oh, I just added it. Thought it'd make it a nice little touch.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Futuristic lab, Back to the Future.
That was good. Merv in Queens. Merv.
Man, Alan, what's up, fellas?
Yeah, Merv, hang on a second. Merv, I just want to play something.
No,
hang on. This is, I believe you called us on Monday.
You guys are way too smart. Don't believe the hype. This organization got it right, man. What's going on? These guys are ready to go. They're holding them back. It's going to be the element of surprise. They're not going to let people plan. Leon Rose, Thibodeau, if they were out, they'd say they're out. They're
you think this is a ruse? Marv, you think this is April Fool's? Josh Hart's going to say April Fool's.
Alan, I'll tell you this. I'm going to call back in a couple of weeks. If I'm wrong, I'm sending you guys Mr. Childs to your office. How about that?
All right.
Damn.
Merv, 3 days later.
I can eat the
I'm
whole
here,
show.
I'm here, brother. I'm here. Don't kick me while I'm down. I'm about my mustache. Give me the address. Tomorrow, if you like, or Friday. No, Friday. Tomorrow. You guys got it. You're right, but listen, you played with my feelings. You're telling me the guy's hoisting up 200 three-point shots, and he's looking right, man. I'm devastated, Alan.
I never said he was shooting 200. Deuce McBride was taking 200 threes. Julius was just shooting threes pregame.
But, Alan, let me know what you think. It's killing me because it's reminding me of the year with the big suspensions with the Miami Heat, being that it comes from the Miami Heat player. That makes me double as sick.
Painful.
Please, I'm being dead serious. Text me an address. Tell me you guys got lunch on me.
Merv, I'm going to put you on hold.
But before
you
put
him
on hold, Dinahan's
going to – wait, just hang on. Let me – so he knows. Dinahan's going to take your information Tuesday. Bart and I will be – I have to go on the road with the Knicks. So I'll be back in the studio Tuesday. So that's the perfect time we can do that. All right. You want to ask him something, Bart?
You guys got it. But just tell me, with that being said, tell me if there's a silver lining. Lie to me. Tell me something,
though. OG still could come back, and he could play the four, and you could still be a very, very competitive team in the postseason. So it's still worth having hope that it could still be a fun spring, but obviously without a healthy Randall, it can't be as good as you'd hope. But OG could still help you save something of the season. He could still do that.
So give me a new ceiling.
He's got to play.
Give Merv a new ceiling. What's the expectations with OG, without OG, what's the realistic expectations of what he can hope for? What's success? What is success and what's failure?
Listen to me. You guys, I gave up on mumble music 10 years ago. That's how I found you guys. You guys are really great. I really feel like you ease my day. Keep up the good work.
Thank you,
and
man.
Send me the address and time, and it's yours.
Hang on.
Safe travels, brother.
We're going to put, you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold. Ray's going to get let you know what it's about. I wish I could tell you what the ceiling is. I don't know. I have no idea. Give me the matchup, and I'll tell you if I think they can win the series.
Is somebody looking at them like, yo, we can upset them? The Magic.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. There's teams now looking at the Knicks like they're food. 100%. There's teams now that are like, I'll take them. Not that you want to play them, because they play hard. Like, I think everybody still looks at the Pacers as food because they don't play defense. And you look at them like, give me them in a series. You know, we'll beat them. We'll beat the crap out of them. Like, what did How did Maloney put it?
Oh, right? Boy. DeAndre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
Right. That's how teams will look at the Pacers when it comes to the playoffs and how officials will be, you know, calling it.
Yeah, everybody.
Like, we'll beat the daylights out of this team.
Everybody but the Bucks.
So.
Bucks don't want to see the Pacers.
Yeah.
They can't beat them.
Maybe. I don't know. But I do think that the Knicks are a team they play super hard, so they'll be annoying to play against. But you got to feel like there's not enough offense there. And if you're a team that's got good offense, you'll be like, yeah, we could. Like, I think Orlando wants the Knicks. I think Orlando wants the Knicks.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, Orlando wants the Knicks.
Like, give me them in the 4-5.
But
the
Pacers didn't lose a game this year to the Bucks. Remember, they was like, yo, we can't
beat them. Because they put up 140, 150, and the Bucks don't play any defense. So, yeah, that could be a crazy series. But, again, we still have a bit to go, and we got to figure out, is OG playing or not? All right. So, Power Hour's coming up, 800-919-3776 the number. On the Yankees and the anticipation now of them off of a great start, even though, again, they are not exactly clicking on all cylinders. They won that game yesterday off some crazy rules and everything. I mean, that balk, somebody please explain. I don't know baseball well enough then to know what exactly did he do wrong that turned into a guy getting a free run out of that. But still, plays were made that needed to be made. I don't love the way Rodon walked off that mound, giving Boone the side eye. Got a problem with that. But still, 6-1, you're home. The excitement about the Yankees going forward, 800-919-3776. And, yes, another injury in New York sports, the Randall injury, and devastating the Knicks in the anticipation of the season. But if you're a Knicks fan, do you run it back? Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, four games is not a season for sure. Any team's going to lose four in a row. It's when you lose four in a row to start the season you don't feel so great. And the fact the Mets and Marlins are the only two teams still without a win in Major League Baseball this season can't make you feel great either. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Guy said Mets can't afford to allow this losing streak to go on much longer.
What this season has the potential to be or not to be is going to be decided early. This is not something where you can afford to wait.
You're not good enough to afford that.
But if you want to have any hope of this thing being competitive, it's got to start soon.
Because do you envision them, and maybe they will,
digging themselves out of a big hole? No.
Right. Like, do you envision the Mets at some point soon winning 11 of 13? Probably not.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.